go back just a little to a couple of questions I had about things from the second interview we did.
Mm-hmm.
One is because Sharon mentioned to me that in class you had talked about newsreel incident where some people came through and made a newsreel at Lockheed.
Yes. I don't know, I have it somewhere and I can't find the picture. I want to bring it into class one day.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, they did come through. It was it wasn't newsreel. It was a still picture that they printed in Life magazine.
Uh-huh.
And it was a posed picture of myself with a rivet gun on one of the assembly parts of the plane.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was one. And then there was another that Life magazine did.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the group of the Pearl Harbor widows who went to Lockheed and took the test, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a special bus for us. They picked us up at the chaplain's office. And they took us by bus up to the Lockheed plant in Burbank.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sort of a publicity thing in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, we took the test. And then they took us out and we posed on the steps of an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
We were all graduated from the top of the plane down to the ground level.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all just in ordinary street clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And so they took that picture, and that was printed showing that the widows were being given their chance to work for Lockheed, and that we were doing our part in the war effort, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was another time that this was for a newsreel, where they gave me some spoken lines about doing my part for my husband in the war.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
So they gave you a script ahead of time?
Yes, about three sentences.
Uh-huh.
And then there was another picture that appeared in the Press Telegram. Of a group of women, not at Lockheed, but working in the shipyard and
mm-hmm.
in defense there. So they did give publicity.
Mm-hmm. I was noticing that I went over the phone interview I did with you, but
mm-hmm.
whatever that was, and noticed maybe just a difference in emphasis or whatever, but that at the time I talked to you on the phone, it seemed that you had some feelings of that there was a sort of a very strong publicity program going on for Lockheed at the time. And I mean, that was a real...
You mean when they hired us and so on and
mm-hmm.
so forth? Well, I think so, because in the first place, as far as my understanding was, that we were among the very first women at the Maywood plant.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a converted... they used to have an assembly line on Essex automobiles. And so Lockheed took over the plant. It was called Lockheed Vega Plant Number 4.
Mm-hmm.
And it probably had been in operation for, you know, some time to get it going. But my understanding was that we were targeted as the first women
mm-hmm.
To work at least in this plant. Now, they may have had some at the main plant that I don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
But the emphasis at that time, I remember this was in just a few weeks after Pearl Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably the very early part in January, and Pearl Harbor was December the 7th.
Mm-hmm.
So they made, I'm sure that they made, it was, there was a lot of publicity about the Pearl Harbor widows that were, we were going to, you know, they were hiring us at this particular plant.
Mm-hmm.
And that probably was the reason for the photographs and for the newsreel and so on.
Mm-hmm. How did you feel about that at the time? I remember you telling me that you were very limited, you just had any kind of income.
Yes.
But as far as all the publicity stuff, were you comfortable with that?
No, everybody seemed to take it in stride. There had been so much happening to us. This was just something else. If we hadn't had such a traumatic experience with the losses of husbands,
mm-hmm.
Anything else was sort of anticlimactic.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, going to work not only was a source of income, but it was something to do
mm-hmm.
That took our minds off from what had been happening. Because as far as we were concerned, the war was over, essentially, because we had, you see, the other women who had not lost husbands,
mm-hmm.
Their husbands, they were writing to them, they were following the activities of the ships, and very much, they were very actively involved because of their husbands. And we, as far as our husbands, they were gone. But that, of course, that didn't mean that we weren't still involved. We were, but it was a different feeling. Mm-hmm. And so at least for me, going to work was, it was with a sense of relief that there was a new purpose in my life, mm-hmm. that everything hadn't been shot out from under me. There was something now. And then my brother had just entered the service. He enlisted the day after Pearl Harbor, mm-hmm. and he was only 19. Well, of course, I was concerned about him. Then my brother-in-law was on a battleship on the East Coast, mm-hmm. so there were some family members that were involved. Mm-hmm. But speaking personally, I was all alone in Long Beach, had no family. And the ones that I stayed closest with were the other women who'd lost their husbands. And we were all neighbors mm-hmm. in the project, within walking distance of each other's homes. So I don't have a memory really of going to anybody's homes especially, or coming to me, except that right next door, well, I was in a duplex. So the lady that shared the other half of the duplex, Minnie Malecki, she had two children, her husband was killed. So there was a widow right in the same house with me. Mm-hmm. And she went to work, she might have gone to work, I believe, at the shipyard. She didn't go into the defense work like we did, the airplane industry. Then right next door in the next duplex, and our kitchen doors faced each other. We went across a little area. And so Margaret Bailey was her name. Well, she and I, in fact, she was the one that provided the transportation for we ladies to go up to work. It was 16 miles. Mm-hmm. And she had a car. I remember it was a Chevrolet. And she drove. So in that sense, but other than that, than these contacts,
than the other women?
Yes, I was just very at loose ends. And it seems to me I didn't want to uproot myself, and I had no feeling about leaving or moving. I stayed there. Mm-hmm. And then when the job came up, then I had a real reason for staying. Because mm-hmm. I had to go to and from work. I had responsibilities to a job. And it was my very first employment. So there was a matter of clothes. In those days, we didn't wear slacks and that type of thing, but we had to buy pants in order to, you know, to work. And so there was special clothing. There was fixing up lunch that I'd never done before in my life to go to work, carried lunch. And at the plant, they had these trucks that had sold coffee and sandwiches and this type of thing. So it was a whole new life, and it was very interesting. It was new, interesting, provided some income. I made contacts at the plant, you know, and met new people.
When you're talking about all of these changes, one of the things you mentioned was wearing slacks. Mm-hmm. And that stuck in my mind that another thing that I forgot to ask you the last time was how you felt about.
Oh, I didn't mind. I went along with their program. It was so new, and I think one reason that I was able to accept everything, really, was because of my training in school. I, 9 years, I went to Roman Catholic private school, and part of the time we wore uniforms, and we were under the dictum of the nuns and the priests in our school, and I learned obedience. Mm-hmm. Right off the bat. And I accepted it. It wasn't painful. I was not a contrary pupil, or I just went along with the program. It seemed fair to me. And so this, you see, was almost a continuation of the same thing. Somebody was telling me how to dress, mm-hmm. how to act, and what to do. It made sense to me, and I didn't object. I just went along with the program.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't feel... Did you feel uncomfortable at all?
No.
The first time you
No. I felt a little strange. Mm-hmm. I felt maybe self-conscious. Mm-hmm. But the other girls, of course, had to dress the same way. And, of course, when I look back, I was self-conscious about being there with all of the men, for example, in a strange atmosphere, and doing something that was, the riveting and this type of thing, and then putting a car in a parking lot, and then walking, and then we had our lunch breaks, and we had restroom breaks, And this was, it was different. But I didn't mind because it was a change, mm-hmm. and which I really welcomed at this time.
Mm-hmm. As you got more used to, say, being in the planet, do you remember how long it took you to sort of feel comfortable being there, or at what point you started feeling alright about, you know, working on the machinery?
We had a very nice lead man. His name was Joe. Mm-hmm. And Joe was a married man, and he was used to women. We weren't strange to him at all. Some of the men, I think some of the girls weren't as happy with their lead men. Because, these women may not have, well, especially the women with children, where they were the little boss in their own home, and they had people to dictate to and tell what to do and how to do it and when and so on. I didn't have that in my home. Mm-hmm. It was just my husband and me when he was gone. I was alone in the home and really had a very lovely life. It was very nice. We didn't have much money, but I always managed, and marriage itself was a very pleasant, very wonderful life. I was very happily married, very much in love. And I was the type that I loved it. I would try out new recipes, and I liked to keep the apartments clean, and I liked to paint if something needed painting. And I used to go to the, they had a, what did they call it? A thrift shop. And the officers' wives used to bring their clothes in. And then we enlisted men's wives would go in, and quite often we found some lovely things. So I was able to dress rather well. And but I just felt like a little queen bee in my own life while I was married. It was just wonderful. And of course, I hadn't been married for too long. It was a little over 3 years when I lost Maxie. Mm-hmm. So as far as being in the plant, I've always welcomed an element of change in my life. I don't resist it. I like it. And I seem to adjust to change, you know, quite well. So this probably was very apparent at this time when I look back at it, because I really enjoyed it. The work, it was different. I don't know how long I would have stayed and felt that same way.
Mm-hmm.
But and then I was there only 6 months when I went from the day shift to the swing shift. So those were different hours. And then I was with a different group at work. So there was a change.
Mm-hmm.
And then 6 months after that, I went on the graveyard shift.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention about my car, how I got my car?
You mentioned
yes.
That, not being helped by Rose.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, so Rose was the one that really, I know, well, in fact, I do know. She was responsible for my getting the job in this particular office where we dispensed the seat ration coupons and so on. And then that was another, so altogether 18 months. And then I transferred, you see, to the Navy shipyard.
The shipyard.
Yes.
Yeah, and the shipyard you were, as you mentioned, as a clerical worker.
Yes.
But you still were wearing slacks.
Yes, I was in production
mm-hmm.
on my classification. But it was, the shipyard was just being set up. It was, a whole new thing, and the ships, you see, were coming back from the war zones, and some of them were horribly shot up and damaged. So I worked in what they called Shop 72, or the rigger shop, and these people were the ones who brought a ship in and put them in what they called dry dock. And it was like a slip. It came in like into a pocket. And then they let the water out of this pocket or the dry dock, and then the ship slowly settled down. It took hours, and when it was finished, there was no water left in the dry dock. The ship was just sitting there, but on chops and on supports that held it up. Then the men could get down to the bottom of the dry dock and work on the ship on the very, very bottom of it, or any level that they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of ladders and scaffolding and so on. It was very, it was a very dangerous situation in a way. After it once it was settled down, it was okay. And so my boss, Mr. Faircloth, was what they call a master of this particular shop, the master rigger. And he was the one that had to go out and personally supervise the bringing in of the ship. It could be at midnight, but depending on the tide, I guess. So it was. There were men all through the shop, but he wanted me. Of course, there were other women too. I don't know what those girls did when I stopped to think. Some of them worked in what they call a sail loft, which was a section of this particular department. Mm-hmm. But Mr. Faircloth found I could type. Mm-hmm. And thanks to Maxie, I could. He did. And so I started typing, but I had to stay in my production clothes. Mm-hmm. Because
so from the very start, you started in clothes?
Yes.
Never worked out on the ship for...
No, I never did work on a ship. Uh-huh. But very few women. No, women didn't. Uh-huh. They worked in the shops.
Uh-huh.
And there was...
We say in the shops, it was like a separate...
It's a building. Area. It's a building. A big building. It was mm-hmm. several stories high. And noisy. And with the doors open at each end of the building and cold. Mm-hmm. And... it was a 24-hour around the clock.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, I worked on the day shift.
Mm-hmm.
Once we worked for 10 weeks, 10 hours a day, 7 hours a week.
It was
70 hours a week for 10 weeks.
For 10 weeks you did that?
Mm-hmm.
How long altogether did you have been?
Okay, I was there another 18 months.
Uh-huh.
And that was I started work at Lockheed in January 1942.
Mm-hmm.
In June 1943, I went to the shipyard.
Mm-hmm.
And then in June 1943, January 1945, I started to work in the housing office.
Mm-hmm. So there was a period of time in that 18-month where you worked 70 hours a week.
Yes.
Now, was that all clerical?
It was still clerical.
Uh-huh.
And I suspect that Mr. Faircloth may have asked me if I wanted to work those hours. And, of course, I did because it was before income tax.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was getting what, $1 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, wonderful pay at that time. So I just put in all the hours that I could get.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I went to work in the Navy housing office, that was a straight 40-hour week.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't work Saturdays.
Your normal time at the shipyard, though, was a 5 or 6 day week?
6 day week.
6 day week
mm-hmm.
normal.
Yeah.
And then the one part of the time, it jumped to 7.
Yes, and increased to 10 hours
mm-hmm.
per day.
And the other women were doing, drilling and riveting and things like that?
In the shipyard?
Uh-huh.
No, they were, some worked up in what they call a sail loft, and they worked on canvases, and I don't know why they worked on canvases.
Mm-hmm.
But they did. I think they sewed. They used long needles, and they sewed. It was called in the sail loft, and probably it was part something they used on the ships. I really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And then others, I really don't know what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was, as I say, it was a large, large, large building. And I was sort of insulated in the office part.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, incidentally, I was the absolute envy of every woman in the shop. Because I was dry and it was warm in there. I had a little heater by my feet. And I was answering telephones. I was doing, the clerical work, the first time I ever had in my life. Well, Mr. Faircloth had never had a secretary before, and I had never worked in an office before, so we were perfectly even. But he was very, very nice. The work was not demanding, and of course, as I went along, then I understood more about what I was doing, and I liked to feel I was pretty efficient at the end of the time that I worked for him. He was very patient, very nice to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I was sort of in a class all by myself, and the other women, I know, resented me because I was doing this heavenly work,
mm-hmm.
and but I was receiving the same pay they were,
mm-hmm.
and they were out more or less to see what I would say the field.
Did they complain to you about that? Or?
No, but you can get vibes, because I didn't. Oh, I did. Yes, during lunch we went to a large cafeteria that we went out, to the cafeteria. And of course, during this time, I was living in the Navy housing, and another woman who also lost her husband at Pearl Harbor, Alice, she started to share my house with me, so it was less lonesome. And she was 8 years older than I, and we got along very well. But of course, in our work, we were completely separated all day long. And then, and we may have even worked different shifts and so on. We had a good understanding about sharing household responsibilities, who would do what and so on. And we did share the one bed because I just had the one bedroom. Mm-hmm. But it did help. We weren't so lonely then, you see. Both widows. It isn't as though she was waiting for her husband to come back and hoping he would. We were both in the same boat. Mm-hmm. And both in defense work. Both had the same income, practically. Now, she had a car. And so on Sunday, we would go, we went down to San Diego, for example, or we would go different places. But I remember we used to like to go, they had drive-ins then, when they came out to the car and they served food and so on. And one Friday after work, we went to a drive-in in the area, and I suppose we had hamburgers, I don't know what. And when it came to pay, we discovered neither of us had any money. Mm-hmm. We each had a paycheck. We'd been paid, but no cash. Of course, this went over like a lead balloon. So I remember that I think I left my watch or something. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I came right back with cash, but that's one of the things that happened to us. But we got along very well. That did help.
About when it was that she moved in with
you? Let me see. I would say maybe a year after Pearl Harbor. That I'd met her before Pearl Harbor. Mm-hmm. And she was from near Johnstown, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And she'd been adopted by a couple. She was kind of a strange girl. Not strange, but not overly friendly with just everybody. She just didn't like everybody. Mm-hmm. But I remember that one particular afternoon when we met at somebody else's house before the husbands were lost and so on. Mm-hmm. We liked each other. It was okay. It was just with a group of people. Mm-hmm. But after Pearl Harbor, let's see. I met her. They had a memorial service at Municipal Auditorium downtown. And we had a special seating arrangement for the widows, mm-hmm. and for the immediate families, other, like, mothers and fathers of men that were lost. During this program, Jeanette McDonald was the featured soloist, and I remember that she wore a hat with violets. All she was a beautiful, beautiful woman. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it was at this a particular activity that Alice and I met the second time. And, of course, then she got my address where I lived. Mm-hmm. And it was after that that she drove out, and then we talked a little bit more and had a visit. And then it was after that that she suggested perhaps why didn't we live together? Mm-hmm. And, it not only helped share expenses, but it wouldn't be so lonely. Mm-hmm. And especially, and we didn't have any children. We were just so... each of us so completely by ourselves. Now, why she didn't want to go home to her parents, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I had no wish to leave Long Beach because I just loved Long Beach. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to stay. So it was mutually.
Was she working at Los Angeles?
Yes, she was. But not at the same plant. She might have worked in the Burbank office, mm-hmm. and driven that distance. In fact, she did. Then she transferred to see to the shipyard.
So you were both?
Yes. And in fact, she worked up the sail off of this building I'm talking about. I worked down in the office, but she didn't hold that against me. That was okay with her. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that did help a lot, having Alice, mm-hmm. during this particular time. And then later on, she met somebody and married.
Mm-hmm. So did you start dating at some point
on it? Not then. Mm-hmm. I didn't start dating for about 1942. About the fall of 1943, I I was just so busy, and oh, there were loads and loads of people in Long Beach. Lots of military. It was just buzzing with people, and with the ships here, you see. So it wasn't that I met lots of people, but there was I just didn't want to go out. In a way, I felt like I was it wasn't right yet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. But anyway, so finally, yes, I did, and I.